Hey guys, Gary Mastriano here. I'm host of the Survivor Theories podcast here in the B Plus Player Radio Network. Survivor Theories is the official B Plus Player Survivor Series retrospective show. Each week, Mark, myself, and a very special guest are breaking down every Survivor Series. We're going to tell you what's going on in the world of wrestling. We're going to let you know our thoughts on the show. We're going to let you know a little bit about pop culture that year and also what was going on in our personal lives. So make sure you tune in each week to Survivor Theories right here on B Plus Player Radio.
Hey guys, this is Sean Donovan.
Oh!
And that familiar sound is Fala Ba. And Fala Ba and I are sitting here trying to learn more about the wild, incredible world of pandas.
Panda, word.
And if you want to learn more about pandas,
panda,
go to audibletrial.com/B+players.
Dot ba.
Go to audibletrial.com/B+players, and you too can learn as much as you want about pandas.
Ba plus fala.
On with the show.
Oh.
The following program is brought to you by B Plus Player Radio. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests therein and do not necessarily reflect the views of this network, our affiliates, or our sponsors. For more information, please visit us on Facebook and Twitter at B Plus Radio. And now,
it's showtime, folks!
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What? The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berger, my tag team partner. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HighSpotPodcast, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast. And also, get up to date with all the latest news surrounding our show at HighSpotPodcast.com. Got a great show for you today. Mia Yim will join us. We were able to talk to her at Battle Club Pro, so she will be on the show. Trendsetter, big episode here today. What's going on, my man?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Excited for this week's episode. Excited to talk to you guys, the crew, and have you listen to us and give us your thoughts and opinions on it. You guys can also listen to us. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. It only takes a few seconds, guys. You can also check us out on TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and SoundCloud. We also have a YouTube channel up as well, High Spot Podcast. Just type that in the browser, guys, and you're going to see the most exclusive interviews with such stars as new Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champs LAX, Alberto El Patron, Sienna Savage, Bull Club members, The Villain, Marty Scurll, Adam Hangman. You can put an eye out with that thing, Paige, Jay Lethal, Josh Woods. Plus, you can also catch videos from the High Spot Podcast miniseries, which is my baby, The Adventures with the Trendsetter, as I go all around Las Vegas covering AVN and the highest rated, most popular adult film stars out there, Jeff. So really excited for this week's episode. And again, the closer we get to this, the closer we're getting to the main goal, Jeff, which is WrestleMania in New Orleans.
Most definitely. But of course, there's so much more going on in the world of professional wrestling besides the road to WrestleMania. And what I want to get started on, too, is finally, we now know the location of the All In event that is going to be financed by Cody and the Young Bucks. We finally know the location. Stephen Amell said it on the episode of Being the Elite this past week. And we now know that Chicago, Illinois, or at least maybe the outskirts of Chicago, Illinois, will host All In, and it's going to be an amazing night. I can tell you right now, the inevitable talk is going to be whether CM Punk will be at this event. I say book it right now. He will be there. I think that they're all about making noises and splashes. And listen, they're all good friends, too. CM Punk is really good friends with the Young Bucks. And I think that if they want to make news, if they want to sell this out, if they want to get the headlines and just be the real story, it's going to be CM Punk making at least an appearance. I'm not going to say he's going to wrestle, but I'm saying he's going to make an appearance for that show. But I'm all excited, man. We finally know now Chicago, Illinois is All In.
Well, CM Punk, that would be the cherry on top then, wouldn't it, if he just appeared, as you said. In terms of wrestling, that's still up in the air. We both know that, you know, and obviously the members of the crew listening to the show know that he is obviously making a return back to the Octagon for the UFC. Could this be his final time in the Octagon? Could it be his final time in the UFC? We'll find out. But again, in terms of a wrestling future, we'll wait and see. But again, what a great card lined up for the All In event in Chicago, Jeff. Can't wait to see it. And again, like you said, that would be the cherry on top if CM Punk in his hometown of Chicago, Illinois, showed up.
Now, I told you that I wanted to go. And I know we're going to Mania, and I know we're going to Jericho's, but you looked at me like, man, the tickets are expensive. I'll tell you this, and I'll make a recording here, especially on the show, and I can go back to this. I am going to go broke, but I'm going to live life this year. Mm-hmm. And I am going to go all in, and I'm going to try to get us to go here to the all-in event here, because it is, listen, you can go to the second one, you can go to the third, but you always remember the first one. So this could be a turning point, dude, honestly, because you see three guys that are so passionate about this business, and you imagine this taking headlines away from something like the WWE does. You know, it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be the talk. It seems like everyone's going to get together for this special event, too. So I'm excited about it. And when you know that a group like the Young Bucks and Cody get their hands on something, they're going to go all out, all in. And it's going to be something special. It's going to be a great night. Chicago, why not? You know, we'll get some deep dish pizza, and we'll go to the one-hour tea store over there that they got, and make a weekend out of it. It's going to be Labor Day weekend, too. So,
yeah, wow.
If you're going to make your tickets, if you're going to go get your tickets, get them now as soon as possible. But I tell you what, Trendsetter, I made a promise to myself this year that I was going to enjoy life, live life, and that's what I'm going to try to do. We're going to be at All In, and that is going to be something that I promised myself to do. I put on on the calendar, and I'm going to keep looking at it, and I'm going to find a way for the Jersey Wrecking Crew to be in Chicago for All In. Book it.
Okay, mark the tape, guys. Jeff said it, and when Jeff says it, it shall be done. So we'll find out. I mean, we still have time, but again, you know, when tickets go on sale and airline things and, you know, airline plane tickets and car rent, all that stuff, it gets a little annoying, sometimes a little complicated, but you know what? It's all about getting tickets to that event, which I have no doubt it's going to sell out like hotcakes.
Talk about everywhere we've been in the last few years, right? And Chicago would be an amazing check to
like
mark off
for
the
lost
list,
time.
Right?
Yeah. It would be, you know, to be that place. And, you know,
it's a great
example,
city.
It's a great city. It's a great wrestling town as well. You know, you definitely get a lot of diehards there. And when you mentioned before how this could take a lot of, you know, news away from the WWE, I don't know. I think, you know, when it comes to companies like the WWE, Jeff, I think they sometimes mistake the diehardcores, I feel, or the smart marks, whatever you want to call them. You know, there are a lot of them around. You know, it's not just necessarily the general audience, but that place will be rocking. That place will be packed. And there's been a lot of anticipation when the announcement was going to be made that something like this was going to happen. Then, you know, as you watched episodes of Being the Elite, little teases here and there. Now we finally have a place, a date. So it's not a dream anymore. It's not a fantasy. It's not a what if. It's going to happen. And how big of an event it's going to be, it's going to be, let's say it's going to be memorable. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, mark it on your calendar. September the 1st, 2018 in Chicago at the Sears Center Arena. I'm sure more information will be given, but circle that on your calendars if it's not already circled. All In, presented by, of course, Cody and the Young Bucks. You're going to get Kenny Omega. You're going to get Adam Page, the Bullet Club. Hopefully they can book Flip Gordon and he can get on there. And one of the matches that they're teasing already is going to be Hangman Page versus Joey Ryan. So that's going to be pretty fun in itself to watch. Of course, Tessa Blanchard said she was was all in before that. So even though the card right now is still a little blurry and still in the works, you know it's going to be something that's well run. And I think that they want to make noise. And remember, folks, let the seed plant. It is in Chicago. The next month, supposedly CM Punk is scheduled to be fighting for UFC. We don't know yet officially, yeah, but the rumor is in October he's going to fight his hometown in Chicago. It's in September. What a way to make headlines in September for Cody and the Young Bucks. They're all about it. They're good friends. And why not see CM Punk at this all-in show? Maybe wearing a Bullet Club shirt. Maybe
that's
just showing
question.
Up.
Like, who's really friends with CM Punk right now? Because it seems he's very
selective. The Young Bucks.
Yeah, but again, you know, we thought Colt Cabana was friends with CM Punk.
Oh, and that's different, though. Colt Cabana got on his bad side. The Young Bucks are still friends with... I don't know how often they speak, but I do, you know, I kind of have a feeling that they are good friends. They do talk
good
once
terms,
in a while.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, depending on that, it makes smart business sense for both the UFC and this promotion that Cody and the Young Bucks are promoting themselves for great publicity. So, yeah.
Everyone's going to want to be there.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the promotion like Ring of Honor. They are closely knit, obviously, with the Bullet Club. New Japan, who knows? It's the sky's the limit in terms of, I'm sure a lot of people want to be a part of this event. And it's a good problem to have when you're like, listen, we have to say no to a couple people because there's just not enough room in the card. That's a great problem to have sometimes. Rather than trying to fill up a card, you're kind of pushing people away and saying, okay, well, maybe next time scenario. So everybody wants to be a part of it.
And it's going to be a weekend event too. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a kind of like a podcast convention where all the wrestling podcasts are going to be. Mm-hmm. So why not the High Spot Podcast go be all in, whether we're covering it, whether we're set up there, you never know. But that's going to be my goal at Trendsetter, is trying to get us to all in. You've already done a great job with WrestleMania. You've done a great job with the Jericho Cruise, which I'm excited about in October. So why not try to do this all in thing in September? You only live once, right?
Yeah, you really do.
You only live once. And I swear
what
to God,
a way to go.
If I go broke, I don't care. As long as I live, damn it, this year. But so that's... That's what everyone's been talking about all into. And of course, like you said, this past weekend we had Manhattan Mayhem, which again was very successful. Of course, I talked about it before. Flip Gordon did not get all in. He did not get himself booked. Came up short against Cody, but still another great match. Of course, Adam Page doing that flip, going up on top of the upper tier section there and doing that backflip was crazy. So another great night. The crowd was electric from what we saw.
It was.
And it was great to be a part of Ring of Honor and check that out as well. But talk about this weekend too. It was a really great weekend with Battle Club Pro. Welcome to War. We were able to see that. And, of course, Mia Yim was there. Sue Young was there. Jessica Havoc. It was a great night with big announcements too, right?
Yeah, big announcement for the fact that Battle Club Pro has now gone, you could say, all in, right? And they're going to be showcasing the all-female show on May 26th from Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. And it's going to be very historic for them that, you know, things in the works that we're going to be crowning a first ever Battle Club Pro Women's Champion. So, you know, a lot of history being made around the area, a lot of stuff that you and I have been very gracious enough and been very lucky and fortunate, which I use that word very often when it comes to you and I, to be part of these types of scenarios. And it's great. And it's all going to be headlined by Mia Yim by that time being 100% going one-on-one for the first time ever, Jeff. And it's really hard to imagine that there are a lot of first times ever in this business, but it will be a first time she will step into the ring with Tessa Blanchard. I said it, guys. Tessa Blanchard will be in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey to face Mia Yim May 26th. And it's going to be literally...
Can I get your tongue there, Jess?
No, I'm just trying to find the right word to describe it, but
it's going to be electric.
They're going to tear that place down because, you know what, the whole women's movement, whatever you want to call it, revolution, you know, everybody's bought in on that, and they're just huge fans, and I can't wait to see it. Two skilled individuals like Mia Yim and Tessa Blanchard, it's going to be magic. It's going to be historic.
It's going to be awesome, man. And listen, Battle Club Pro is really doing a great job here. They're all in, like you said, with this women's revolution, women's evolution. So you will see their first all-women show on May 26th. Excited for that one. Like we said, first time ever, Mia Yim, who will be healed up by that time, will take on Tessa Blanchard. And again, Trendsetter, just emphasizing what you said again and just stating the fact that it's first time ever you're going to watch it. It's not going to be in Chicago. It's not going to be in Texas. Not going to be in L.A. or Florida. You're going to see the first time ever New Jersey will get to witness Northern New Jersey will get to witness Tessa Blanchard and Mia Yim. And, of course, excited to have Mia Yim as our guest this week. Man, just blown away, but what a great person she is, too. So that interview will be coming up shortly. But, of course, we got to talk about a little bit of Monday Night Raw. Talking about the match that's already been set. It's going to be Stephanie McMahon, Triple H against Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle. Just quickly, your thoughts. I know timing was a big issue in your eyes of how they set this up, just about the timing in the ring. Talk a little bit about, you know, just what you thought of the whole lead-in, and now that we know that this match is official and we're going to see this at WrestleMania in New Orleans.
Well, first of all, Jeff, kudos to you. You're the one who kind of said this was going to happen. I'm sure a lot of people would have preferred, you know, no offense to Kurt Angle, The Rock and Ronda Rousey teaming up against Triple H and Stephanie.
Timing. I don't think The Rock would have been able to do it.
Yeah, who knows? He's not going to be allowed to do it, or you know, probably wanted to, but can't. So, but then this is a nice little plan B for them to have. But in terms of what I got annoyed with is that, you know, I'm not here attacking Ronda Rousey. It's just the whole setup where, you know, Ronda Rousey, being very new to the business, needs to be, I wouldn't say handled, has to be kind of directed in the sense. And when you have veterans like Kurt Angle, Stephanie McMahon, who I don't think gets enough credit for her character and how she portrays it, because you even said it before during the show, she comes off such a nice person 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now can be like so hated. And that's just a talent of
it's
hers.
Back and forth, dude.
Triple H has great delivery and timing, and just it felt more like a train wreck. It really did. We had an announcement. Ronda Rousey was basically reading off what she was being told what to say, and it really did sound scripted in my mind. But again, you know, the audience chanting her name kind of got her, which is
at least
understandable.
She's over. At least she's over. Not
she's
getting booed, right?
Yeah,
she's gonna be there every week.
And I think the fans understand that, and they respect that, and they actually appreciate that she's going to be there. It's not going to be, for example, like a Brock Lesnar, which we'll talk about later on, that, you know, she'll show up every once in a while. She's basically going to be there every Raw till WrestleMania. So you have that. Just the whole delivery. I mean, something like this, I told you before, it could have been built up for so much more, and it's probably nitpicking, but I thought, you know, when it comes to the anticipation of Ronda Rousey actually physically getting her hands on Stephanie McMahon, you want to wait till that special moment, like at WrestleMania. The announcement could have waited a little bit longer, but I understand in terms of maybe from a promotional standpoint, they wanted this out as soon as possible. They can start building it up. But, you know, the whole scenario with Triple H and Kurt Angle, I thought could be so much more. I understand there's a history between Stephanie and Ronda from WrestleMania 31, but the whole Triple H, Kurt Angle thing hasn't really been touched. I really feel they're more just like placeholders because the main focus, which I guess it should be, is on Ronda and Stephanie. I just feel like at Triple H at this stage in his career, and Kurt Angle obviously at the twilight of his career, it's like it could be so much more because those two have so much history as well. So that's where I was a little disappointed. But again, we predict this was going to happen. There's no doubt now with about maybe 5 weeks or less than 30 days heading into WrestleMania, they're definitely going to be building it week in, week out. But you know, seeing Kurt and how he interacted with Triple H when they had their altercation kind of has me a little bit worried because, you know, I mentioned how I'm concerned for Ronda and how she's performing in the ring. We've seen Kurt already in the ring, didn't look his best, thinking maybe it was unexpectedly for him to be put in there. We saw him at Survivor Series. Now here, I got a bad feeling right now that maybe Kurt's biting off more than he can chew.
Well, maybe he is, but I mean, there is no alternative. I think Kurt Angle, he looked impressive, I think, when we saw him at the pay-per-view where he had to wrestle with the Shield, join the Shield. And I think, you know, a lot of people thought WrestleMania was
the battleground.
No, I don't know. That's why I said the pay-per-view. So
no, part of me wants to say battleground for some reason. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I really don't know. Yeah, it's the one where they ended up, you know, because Roman Reigns got the mumps and because
the mumps.
Something like that.
He got sick, yeah. He got sick. Started spraying around everywhere, too. But yeah, that was definitely an unexpected timing in terms of Kurt Angle coming back to the ring. But again, like I said, we've seen him twice now. It's exciting to see him back in his first WrestleMania in a long time. But just for me, causes of concern that Kurt is not obviously what he once was. It's clear to see, but at the same time...
Well, maybe promo-wise, his timing's a little off. You're right, but I mean...
And in the ring, too, he's not as quick and as fast as he once was.
No, obviously not.
It's going to be pretty interesting to see the final product when it's there.
In the long run, though, it could be good because there is this mutual respect between Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle. Of course, they were at the Arnold Classic this past weekend, and they were able
Olympians,
too. Yeah. So there is that mutual respect, so we'll see that. But you know, just going on matchups, I mean, right now, you got to favor Kurt and... Ronda Rousey, if you're just looking at in a you know, subjective way, yeah, without any outside things. You got Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle, so you know, it's gonna be interesting to see how Stephanie McMahon performs at WrestleMania. It's been a while since she's been in the ring too, so looking forward to this, man. I mean, I think it's gonna be set up well. It's gonna be one of the main focuses for Mania as we lead into it. So we will see what happens next week. Of course,
Ronda Rousey. Attraction, basically.
Yeah, of course, Ronda Rousey will be there every week leading up to WrestleMania. So we'll see if she does get better on the promo side. Talk about anything else that stuck out to you on Monday Night Raw. Anything else that you were like, "Oh, okay, I see what they're doing with this," or I'm still waiting on something.
You know what I was really interested in, Jeff? I was really interested in the direction they're going for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm so happy that it's actually going to be defended at WrestleMania, but the mere fact that it's going to be defended in a triple threat match, you know, I have nothing against Seth Rollins and Finn Balor competing for the IC title with The Miz, but it just really feels like it was more just kind of done last minute, that they're really, when you have a talent like Seth Rollins and a talent like Finn Balor, which could be doing so much more, and this goes back to the discussion you and I had before, the point that you made, where, you know, right now, this is Raw is the brand, or the brand of the Giants, the land of the Giants. You know, Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, as talented as they are, will not even be close to seeing the Universal Championship anytime soon when you have guys like Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns in that position going and buying for that title. So, it just feels like it was kind of just done last minute. It could have been so much more. And if they really constantly keep talking about how they want to bring prestige and glory and honor or whatever, credibility back to a title that has so much history behind it, you know, it shouldn't have the feel like it's done last minute. And, you know, the credit goes to Miz for doing what he's done for the title, but I just feel like it could have been so much more. I would love to see either Miz or Finn, or, you know, we talked about it before, after Elimination Chamber. If I just saw Seth Rollins and Finn Balor just going one-on-one and developing a reason why they want to face each other, that's a good enough storyline for me. I just feel the title's been placed in there to kind of bring more lore to this championship match, which, you know, hasn't really been built up as much.
And they got to get The Miz in there too. So I think if you have this matchup in triple threat one, there's going to be a lot of multiple people in matches. You just can't help because there's a lot of depth on the roster, so you're gonna get triple threat matches. You're gonna get fatal four ways for other matches. So
six pack challenges, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm excited to see Finn and Seth Rollins fight. It would have stood on its own without the title, but I understand why they got to put Miz and the Intercontinental Championship on the line. This matchup could probably steal the show at WrestleMania too. So it's another good one that I'm looking forward to, and the Miz is gonna. Listen, I love Seth Rollins, but I kind of question his promo sometime. Finn Balor, I love him, but, you know, he's kind of that happy-go-lucky guy. I kind of like the way Miz attacked Finn Balor to open things up. So I think Miz, his promo ability is going to add a lot to this matchup, too. It's going to sell us on it, just like Paul Heyman just sold me on the whole Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And let's give credit to Paul Heyman. And
when do we not give credit to Paul Heyman?
I have to again. He just blows me away with his promos, man. It is just another amazing example of just how he's bought me in. We were talking about WrestleMania 31. We were talking about, I'm not sold on Roman Reigns yet. Oh, I don't know if he belongs in the ring with Roman Reigns. And what did Paul Heyman do when they had that face-to-face? They had a huge snowstorm, and they were in Stamford, Connecticut, and had that face-to-face. And how awesome was that? I was bought in. I was hooked, line, and sinker for that matchup. And again, Paul Heyman does the same thing, and I'm looking forward to the face-off next Monday night on Raw because Paul Heyman bought me into it.
You bring up a good point in terms that you're discussing WrestleMania 31 now comparing to this because there are similarities behind it. There's history there between the two. But from 31, when you said that Paul Heyman sold me, what did Paul Heyman sell you on, Roman Reigns? We just sell you on the fact that, you know, Brock Lesnar could leave.
It was a big time match. That was a big time match.
Yeah, was he going to go? Was he going to pay the honors? What was going to happen? And obviously the monkey wrench was Seth Rollins winning the title, cashing in Money in the Bank. This has a similar feel behind it. There's no doubt in my mind, as soon as Paul Heyman grabbed the microphone, he could sell shit on the street, basically. He's that good of a salesman. He's that good of having the ability of capturing an emotion and bringing it back to you to be invested in it. But it has a very similar feel to it behind it as well, where Paul Heyman laid the title in the middle of the ring, said, you know what, the next time he does this again, which would be around SummerSlam, he said, you know, it'll be that and the UFC Heavyweight Championship too. So now rumors are going out that Brock wants to go back to the UFC. Dana White has mentioned, you know, he sees Brock Lesnar coming back. The photo, and now using that in the promo of the so-called shoot that Roman Reigns had A lot of factors coming in. I don't know if Paul Heyman, as much as I love him, had to sell me enough on this because all the other factors outside were enough to buy into what was going on.
I think that he sold me this time on the fact of Brock Lesnar. I think that a lot of stuff was being piled on Brock Lesnar, and I truly believe that what Paul Heyman did was add, I guess, spoke for Brock, because we haven't heard from Brock in a while.
Yeah. So Brock's not somebody who speaks.
But still, though, he's the advocate, so he speaks for Brock Lesnar. Yeah. So that is why it was important to see what his point of view was. And then for him to say that he would be there next Monday night, it sets it up for a must-watch next Monday night to see what happens when they face off. And, of course, Roman Reigns saying, don't have him dressed up for a promo, have him dressed up for a fight. So that's going to be something to focus on, and it makes me want to see what happens next week.
Yeah, it brings that intrigue for next week, obviously, which lived up to what you wanted that segment to be about. But ultimately, like I said, you know, it's been since last year built in that we know, and obviously members of the crew listening to this know that it's been built that Roman Reigns is going to be the next guy. Look at all the people he's had on his list of people he's beaten, and I'm just going to only name a few. He's defeated John Cena. He's defeated The Undertaker. Who's left on that list will be Brock Lesnar. And, you know, it's amazing that even going back, Jeff, to Elimination Chamber, they're like, this is his first Elimination Chamber. He is accomplishing so much faster pace than John Cena ever did. And it gets to the point, too. I mean, the crowd is already he's already a polarizing figure with the crowd. How much more can he do? Because he's accomplishing so much in such a short period. You know, is he going to be burnt out by this time? Is there not enough firsts to do anymore where you want to pace yourself? So that'll be a huge feather in Roman Reigns' cap when that does happen. Because I think that's what it's leading to. WrestleMania 31, it was all about what was going to happen. Was Brock going to leave? Was Roman actually going to win the title when the crowd was against him? Now, this case, I think it's going to go that way, whether we like it or not.
All right, guys, without further ado, we're now going to talk about Battle Club Pro and that great night that happened last Saturday night where Mia Yim made the announcement that Battle Club Pro was going to have its first ever all-women show on May 26th, and also that Mia Yim was going to face Tessa Blanchard on that night as well. We got a chance to sit down with Mia Yim, former Mae Young Classic competitor, formerly known as Jade in TNA, and of course she's been making her name on the independents, suffered a setback injury early during the year, early last year, and she was, rehabbing, and she's about to make her comeback. And one of the matches that we're looking forward to is going to be on May 26th. But, guys, we can't not get into that interview without talking about it being a new year. We're going to talk about new gear, and talking about new gear means Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts. To check out the entire spring fashion line of 2018, you got to go to collarandxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps.
And hopefully there's a spring, Jeff.
Hopefully. And they present to you this week's interview with Mia Yim, live from Battle Club Pro. HIGHSPOT Podcast, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Battle Club Pro, welcome to war. We are joined by the one and only Mia Yim. Mia, how you doing?
I'm cold.
Yes, it's unseasonably cold here in March.
Hopefully you brought a jacket.
I mean, I brought as much warm stuff I got from home. We don't really have that in Orlando.
Yeah, but we're talking about, you know, how it being really cold here, and you're kind of used to the warm weather and things like that. But, you know, how, first of all and foremost, how are you feeling? Are you close to 100%?
Not close, but getting there.
Getting there.
As long as there's improvement
really is
100%? Every day.
Who really is 100%
nowadays? I mean, my doctor was telling me, you know, you're not going to be 100% for 6 months anyway, but that's the normal for any break. Mm-hmm. But I'm able to run. I started kicking last week, so as long as I keep up with the PT, keep doing my aquatherapy, I'm good.
You talk about aquatherapy. How's that been working well?
I mean, I used to be a swimmer as a kid, but ever since I dyed my hair, now I'm like, I just want to get my ankle good. I'm tired of the water. I can't mess with the water.
So you talk about going to the nice weather of Orlando, coming up here, and, you know, thank you for coming here and making the trek.
Yes, because it was thank you.
We followed you on Instagram. It was a crazy trek for you. We dragged it everywhere.
Even to get here.
But you came to
took a dog sled. You know.
I ran.
Nothing was going to stop her from
getting
there.
And then, with one leg.
Yeah, exactly. That's the passion. That's the love for Battle Club Pro. You made a huge announcement here today. There's going to be a first ever women's show for Battle Club Pro. And talk about that, too, and just
you know, we'll get to the women's revolution, I guess, but talk about the first female show for Battle Club Pro, May 26th.
Well, the ladies are taking over. Ever since I worked my first Battle Club show, I knew it was something special, so it's nice to see them actually going forward and doing something for the women, and bringing women from just not in the area, but all over the country. So I'm really excited to see the first ever women's show and what they could put on. And I know there's going to be some good matches of women today that they're going to also, like, the winner of the first match and the winner of the main match, they're going to have a match at this all women's show. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, and also you're also going to wrestle the winner of the opening match between Willow Nightingale and Harlow O'Hara, right?
Who, me?
Are you?
No, I'm issuing an open challenge.
You're issuing an open challenge.
You're issuing the open challenge. I got it.
We wish she was, but no, it's not the case.
Talk about, everyone's going to, when they introduce you, they'll be like former Mae Young Classic competitor. Talk about just that.
Don't rub it in, Jeff. Seriously.
Talk about that.
I apologize for him. I really do.
It's all good.
Talk about that experience and how it was to wrestle with all those amazing competitors.
It was so much fun because it's...
She's getting goosebumps just talking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, I'm also freezing, too.
It's cold.
It was awesome because all my friends were there. So it was from my friends from the UK to Japan. Like, all my friends were there. And even those that has been in WWE for several years, like... Natalia was there. Like, it was nice to, it was a big reunion for me, and it was nice to finally see that at WWE we have a tournament dedicated to us and to be able to show what we can do 100% rather than just, okay, you're this character and you can only do this. Like, we were allowed to do every and anything that we wanted to do, say if we were at Shimmer. So it was awesome to just have a free reign to be with my friends, to just kind of like still learn TV and just the coaches. It was a great experience.
I mean, talking about that, I mean, we had a seminar earlier on the day where you spoke to a lot of aspiring young talent, and there's no doubt that, I mean, they look at your career and what you've done in your career so far as something that they want to aspire to do. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to go out there? I mean, we ask certain people this too. What's the most common question you get asked at these type of seminars?
Well, this was my first seminar. Well, the second one, but the first one I ever done on my own. Mm-hmm. So it was a learning process for me too. So I just wanted to make sure that they're able to really take from this seminar and bring it into, say, if they were to get a tryout next month or to do a TNA Knockouts Only thing, they're able to not just do indie style, but to do TV style as well, because now everybody is getting an opportunity. So I don't want them to get too used to just doing indies. So I want them to adapt to doing hard cam and characters and just being animated rather than just focusing on moves, because that was one of my biggest, the hardest transitions into TV. So I just wanted to make sure that they were able to really grasp that, you know, they have an opportunity to be on TV, so they should learn how to do both styles. But it was a lot of fun.
What's the best advice that you've been given, that you've been able to give to the students here at the seminar, that really is something very important that you've carried through your career so far that you want to send the message to them?
Probably one of the biggest advice I've been given was legit to not give up, because there's so many haters out there, and there's so many people that's waiting for you to fail, that if you let them win, then what are you going to do with your life? Like, If you can overcome that, you can overcome anything. So no matter what, whatever I say, whatever your trainer says, do what you want to do and pursue your dream no matter what. So that's always been something big to me that I always try to tell everyone that looks up to me.
Something. Oh, why wouldn't they look up to you? Honestly, seriously. I mean, what you've done so far and what you plan on doing in the future when you're back to 100%, we can't wait to see here the High Spot podcast and cover it and discuss it. But you know. To elaborate on that, when you're talking about opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Jeff and I constantly go on, we beat it in the bush, and we, sorry guys, I asked this question again, though, but it's important because nowadays it feels like 2017 was such a huge boom in wrestling. It feels that way. 2018 is absolutely an evolution with the women's revolution. Just wrestling in general, it just seems like with social media, there's just so much more content out there that, you know, back to the days of tape trading don't exist anymore, thank God, where you can actually post stuff on YouTube and go out there and reach out promoters. Talk about the importance of social media for you, how it's gone to the point where you look at guys like Cody, for example, or guys that have been released from WWE, going out there and making a name for themselves and really marketing themselves to the point where it's not necessarily just about learning what to do in the ring, but learning how to market yourself and brand yourself as well.
Right. It's the social media age. So instead of having to, back when I first started, I had to put a resume together.
Back in my day.
I feel so old.
We're like, right there with you, man.
You had to put like a resume together with 8x10s and then like a CD or a tape to send to these places, where now all you have to do is just post up one of these, do this, and then you could just send it to an email and they could get it that hour. So it's like, I always stretch the fact that, one, you have to be professional, because if you come off like an ass on social media, whether it's just character or, you know, people's going to perceive that as you.
And like I said, everybody has one of these too, so mm-hmm. you have to be professional mm-hmm. nowadays.
You have to be image conscious, so you can't just go out drinking at an after party, because even though you had a killer match, they're going to probably post a photo of you being drunk off your ass the next day, and that's what you're going to be known for. Yeah. So it's just being professional both in and outside the ring. And then you also, it's the privilege of being able to have YouTube, Daily Motion, being able to, I have a match, here's a link, here you go, you can check it out, rather than just, okay, give me 2 weeks, I'll send you out a tape.
Okay. So the content and how fast you get out there is a lot better than maybe, you know, back in the day, theoretically.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about Women's Revolution Evolution, obviously it's been a great 2017, 2018 for the women's wrestling. Mm-hmm. Just, it's probably a great time for the students here that you're teaching here to get into business. What do you think was the turning point that made this so popular? I mean, you're going to have May 26th, an all-women show. They're going to crown the first ever women's champion here. Everyone is now on the train right now for mm-hmm. women's wrestling. What do you think was the turning point? It was the key factor?
It's hard to say one event. I feel like it was the efforts of the promoters finally saying, you know what, let's see what you can do, whether it's an intergender match or just, you know, girls getting more than 5 minutes and being able to showcase what they can do rather than how they look or just how sexy they could be. So once given that opportunity, and then promoters realizing, oh, we can actually make money from this, and it is not a bad product, that they actually can put on some good matches, I think the ball started rolling at that point. So I can't name one event, but yeah.
Are you excited to get back on that train, because it is full steam ahead so far in 2018?
Very much. Very much I am. Cannot wait.
And also, too, we talked to James Ellsworth last week, actually, and he's doing this intergender thing where he has the belt now. He's making the towns, and he's doing that old Andy Kaufman thing.
He has his list,
too.
And you are on it.
Yes, and you are on it. Talk about intergender wrestling, too, because it seems like it's something that the fans are really interested in. Because
you wouldn't imagine this day and age right now we're in that to be something that, you know, promoters would want to put out there, but mm-hmm. it's actually very entertaining, and, you know, it seems to be evolving itself kind of like the women's revolution seems to be evolving itself, where people are accepting that now mm-hmm. as opposed to back in the past mm-hmm. we don't want to see a man and a woman.
You had Brian Cage and Tessa Blanchard at Wrestle Circus have an amazing match, and everyone's talking about it still, and it's almost like 2 weeks later. So mm-hmm. let's talk about that, the men wrestling the females.
I love intergender matches. I love it. Like, when the reason why I became popular at CCW was because of my feud with Greg Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, intergender wrestling is something special to me.
What a feud that was, folks.
Oh, man, it was so much fun. But, and it was also the fact that we're able to tell a story. We're not just, and this is going to be really odd to say because I am an advocate for domestic violence, but once again, it's all about consent.
Yes.
It's not about just the story of the man beating up the woman. Like, now there's stories that we're equal, like, we're able to hold our own.
Yeah.
Whether they're like, I wrestled Greg Excellent, who's three times as heavy as I am, and I wrestled Joey Ryan, who is three times as sleazy as I am. So
I don't know, is he a pretender? I mean, he got exposed.
I have no idea. I wouldn't know that.
he's kind of sleazy.
But for me, as we're talking about the evolution of that, my biggest question is, I've always had for especially talent, because I respect so much what you guys do in there. I live vicariously through you guys. I mean, if it was so easy, everybody would do it. So it takes a special individual to be able to do it on a consistent basis like you have so far. What's the biggest learning curve at this point? Because I always ask talent this, because first of all, you have to be aware of your strengths, but also you have to address your weaknesses too. Where do you feel you are at this stage in your career that you feel you want to improve on to get you to that next level?
It's the mental game, especially now after my injury. This is the first injury I've ever had in wrestling.
Hopefully,
so, like,
the last.
It's just such a mental challenge to just kind of still have the heart and the passion and to get in there. And after questioning myself, it's like, you know what? No, I can keep doing this. I still have a couple years left that I want to keep going. So as of right now, it's just trying to get mentally there. But I know once I get back in the ring and just relive what I've missed for the last 4 months, like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Is that going to be an adjustment for you? Because stepping away, your body's not used to that daily grind, so it kind of goes through phases.
Yeah.
So is it going to be more of like trying to get your body used to that mentality of getting in there and taking bumps, going in there and doing the normal routine?
I think so. Like, I've been missing the travel life, and then after this hectic weekend, I'm already kind of like over it. But I'm excited to get back in the ring. I've been doing bumps on just like, not in a ring, just like in a MMA mat. Mm-hmm. That way in a ring it'll be a lot easier. So I'm kind of like prepping my body. I know I'm gonna not have any wind my first couple matches.
Oh yeah. And one final one for me is we're in the backdrop of New York City. How do you still have that feeling that you're in the metropolitan area, that you're here, you know, in spirit here, like being a part of Battle Club Pro? It's still special to wrestle in New Jersey, New York?
Absolutely. After training in Philly and having to travel from D.C. all the way to the tri-state area, it's nice. It feels like home. I am a D.C., Virginia person, so I'm not a fan of New York. I'm not a fan of the fast life, but just being back up here, it feels like home.
And we feel like home having you here, man. We do.
So welcome home. Thank you so much.
Yes.
What's the over-under you're going to watch Black Panther?
I'm sorry?
Over-under you watching Black Panther? You're a fan of it? Did you enjoy it?
I watched it 3 times already.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
What's the over-under?
You're going to watch it 3 more times.
Yeah. And then I'm still going to buy it on DVD and Blu-ray.
What did you like about it? What keeps you coming back?
If you can name one thing.
Besides the fact that it was... I'm not a comic book person, so to me it was a historic, monumental moment for being half African American, that we finally have a movie that we can say, like, you know, there's, of course, Superman, Superwoman, whatever, and it's like we can finally have a super character that we can look up to. And so it was awesome to see us being portrayed as a superhero rather than a crackhead or a homeless or being in prison. So it made me proud, and it also made me very refreshed to know that this movie was in what some people would say woke, because Killmonger, who's my favorite villain of all time now, like, he is the reason why he's the villain, and his purpose is because of what he went through as a child, which is what the country did to him and for the black people in Oakland, California.
That's what I always tell Jeff. Usually the best villains are ones you can relate to the most and have some reason or some conscious of what they're doing,
I found myself rooting for Killmonger at times. Oh, you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Like, it's weird. Like, especially in wrestling, sometimes being the villain is cool, but like, Killmonger was, you know, you felt it.
He was definitely my favorite overall in the movie, and it was just because I legit felt like I could relate to him.
Yeah.
Like, it was, he's too much like,
We talk about comic book movies, Jeff, compared to professional wrestling. I always think there is some, you know, similarity there, because you're talking about larger than life characters on the movie screen. Yeah. When you guys go out there, it's larger than life, which makes me the question. When we see you in the ring, is that Mia? Is that the Mia we see that you are every day, or is that the volume turned up really high? I always like asking that question, because everybody says, you know, the people that make it are the ones that they crank up the volume really high on themselves.
As a babyface, it's definitely all me. As a heel, it's me times 100 if I was allowed to be that without going to jail. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mia Yim, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, Battle Club Pro, welcome to war. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. So much
fun.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, great talking to Mia Yim. Of course, I had to talk to her about Black Panther, because obviously she posted on Instagram tons of times that she's went to see it. I think it's going to be 3 times. By the time this interview airs, who knows, could it be 5, 6, 7, 8? Definitely a fan of Black Panther, and had to ask a few questions of what makes that movie so amazing right now, because everyone's watching Black Panther.
Everybody's watching. You heard from what Mia's reaction was to it and how much it meant for her, because it kind of broke the mold of the stereotypes if you look at the comic book world of what a superhero is. So, you know, it meant a lot to her. That's why she loves it so much. And I think it was a great comparison, too, when we're talking about in terms of villains. And I'm not talking about Marty Scurll here, although he's 29.
But he's got gray hair.
But he's 29, Jeff. He's 29.
And he's got gray hair now. All that stress is going on. But wait, Jeff, but the book club, it's fine, okay? It's fine. So let's not dive into that yet. But yeah, the comparisons, when you look at comic book characters in these movies that you and I watch, Jeff, from time to time, you know, larger than life characters, and it's amazing how the transition is so similar to the world of professional wrestling. So Mia Yim is just a joy to speak to her. And just to me, what was more exciting too is her really getting into the I was really surprised when she's like, she's got to get stronger in the mental game of it. And I think she's mentally stronger than anybody, considering the injury she had, the severity of it, where she is now, where she hopes to be in the future. And we can't wait to see her on May 26th at Battle Club Pro, their first all-female show, when she faces Tessa Blanchard. You know, it's amazing how, you know, it's a huge roller coaster and how people handle pressures differently. And I just can't wait to see Mia Yim back in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, she had her seminar right before the event, which is great. And how awesome to get tips and advice from someone who is in the Mae Young Classic, someone who's had a great career so far, who has more to accomplish in the future than Mia Yim. So that's great for those people getting that advice from her too, as well. Again, we got an update on her injury as and also, of course, again, Tessa Blanchard, Mia Yim, May 26th. We can't stress enough, Battle Club Pro is going to be awesome. May the Queen Reign is the name of that show, so make sure you guys go to battleclubpro.com and get tickets for that, too. They're doing pre-sales. Let me tell you something. I just want to also really quick congratulate Joaquin Morales, too, for he booked the show Welcome to War, which was this past Saturday. He's doing a great job, and I think that this event is going to top that. So congratulations to what they're doing over there. It's really, really great stuff, too. So Mia Yim, we thank her for joining the High Spot Podcast. And now we move on to the final event before WrestleMania, and that is Fastlane. This is a pay-per-view that I just cannot wait to watch it on my DVR and then talk about it maybe later, because I am just not at all looking forward to this. I'm just not into it, man. I don't know, maybe just too many pay-per-views. Maybe I just want to get to WrestleMania already, or also too, because like the card is just, to me, it's, you have a six-pack challenge, and then finally it was announced that Shinsuke Nakamura is going to take on Rusev, but you don't find out till the very last minute. So this is a pay-per-view that I think wasn't hyped up well. They just focused on, to me, the six-pack challenge, and then John Cena, of course, makes his way into this match a week before. So I'm just like, okay, fine. Hopefully AJ Styles walks away with this, and then we get to the whole John Cena Undertaker the Monday night after Fastlane.
Well, you only hope, you pray that that's the way the storyline is going, that, you know, AJ Styles will overcome the odds, and he will win, retain his title, and face Shinsuke Nakamura in one of the main events. Hopefully it is the main event of WrestleMania in New Orleans, because I feel it rightfully deserves to be that way. But, no, Jeff, I see your point, because a lot of people have been, you know, griping about it or really not happy with the fact that everybody right now is focused on WrestleMania. As we open the show, I mentioned it. Of course, there are other things underneath that we could talk about. But, again, that's what everybody's mindset is right now. It's the quote-unquote, as much as they make that a saying now, it was said way before WWE mentioned it, you know, it's WrestleMania season now. It's that's all you're worried about. After Elimination Chamber, the only focus was New Orleans. You see the commercials, you see the promos, you know, it's 45 days away, 40 days away, 30 days away. It's the excitement there. So as much as they tried to build this card, they tried their best, but it seems like just something right now that nobody's really interested in, because they're just bypassing it and looking forward.
I don't think they tried doing their best. I think they saw this and were like, I'll just get to freaking New Orleans too. And I'm glad that after Backlash, you're going to go back.
I don't agree with that. You know why? Because they kept pushing down the fact of the six-pack challenge. They kept saying it's a triple threat. Then it's a fatal four-way, a five-way, then John Cena. So they are promoting it, but they're trying to push down
the rest of the card, though.
That's still promoting it. They're promoting the hell out of this main event.
You got to tell me the whole card. To me, that's promoting it. One match, again, are you excited about anything else that's on this match? You know what I mean? Like, and then Shinsuke Nakamura, a guy who won the Royal Rumble, doesn't get promoted to last minute, and he's taking on Rusev. So, I mean, you as far as promoted in air quotes, I could say that they've done it. But as far as the whole card, I think it's very lackluster. And I think that we all kind of know the outcome. We know that hopefully AJ walks away with it. Hopefully Shinsuke gets a win against Rusev. Although I don't know the way they're booking nowadays on SmackDown. Hopefully Nakamura and AJ. And we don't get John Cena in a triple threat match. Please, I don't want to see that. And hopefully it leads up to a whole John Cena versus The Undertaker and have that matchup, have fun with it. Maybe it's 5 years too late, but that's where they're going to go.
Yeah, well, it looks that way too. I mean, you also have the women's championship on the line as well, the tag team championships on the line, so the United States title on the line. So all the championships are on the line here, unlike other, you know, network events where, you know, one title is not being defended. All the titles are on the line in this one. So, you know, if it hasn't been promoted from the standpoint of the rest of the undercard, you're still going to be pretty much entertained just by the outcomes to see, you know, what the ultimate results are going to be leading to WrestleMania. So basically, if they wanted to prove that purpose and use it for that reason, they live to do their job. So that's it. I mean, the main focus is AJ in the six-pack challenge against Dolph, John Cena, Baron Corbin, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. We've said it before. My pick right now has got to be AJ Styles. Makes no sense in my opinion, but again, we've been proven wrong many times before, Jeff. But again, it just doesn't make sense why you would build up this whole anticipation for AJ and Shinsuke and not have them at WrestleMania for the title. So I think it's just built up filling in gaps because you don't really know what to do with Dolph, Baron, Kevin, and Sami right now, which is a shame for those two guys. And so I got AJ going in this one. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with AJ Styles, man. You wanted to get right away and started with the main event. So, yeah, I will go AJ Styles.
That's the main thing they promoted.
True. Yeah. And I will give you credit for that one, too. So there's always that scare that they might go with John Cena, but I don't think so. I think that they're going to do the...
That was a nice wrinkle, though, when John brought that up, because I even forgot about that.
Yeah, and I think there's something cool where someone actually cut and pasted a picture of Cena pointing to the WrestleMania sign, and he kind of did it in the Undertaker way, which is a little subtle too. If you take a look at it and go back to it, to him doing the Undertaker with the hand. So, you know, we'll see about that. But we think AJ Styles is going to walk away there. Charlotte Flair and Ruby Riott. You know what the funny thing is? Everyone's saying now it's going to be Asuka and Alexa Bliss.
Oh, man.
Okay. And I think if you do that, then you need to do it like Sheamus did.
Well, here's the thing, Jeff. Has she announced who she's going to face?
But they make it seem like they did. Yeah, even Michael Cole, somebody said it on Raw that she's chosen Alexa Bliss.
3 weeks ago, they say she's going to face the Raw Women's Champion. Then the following week after that, they say she has to make her decision. Now this week, this last Raw, they mentioned that again, Michael Cole. And we're like looking at ourselves like, you come up to me and say, Brian, has she made her choice yet? I was like, no, she hasn't.
Yeah, they made it seem like we're going to get Asuka and Alexa Bliss. So if that's what we get, what happens to Charlotte Flair? She takes on Ruby Riott. Listen, I love Ruby Riott, but there's no way she's beating Charlotte Flair.
Nope.
Who does Charlotte Flair take on? Does she take on Becky Lynch, who they've done absolutely nothing with the last few months? Am I really going to get excited for that? Are they going to do a Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Championship, which would be, to me, you talk about somebody that's been booked so bad. And I'm going to say this right now. Charlotte Flair has been, ever since she's been a goody two-shoe, I think that she's been booked terrible. And I think it was a horrible move to move her to the SmackDown brand. I think it should have been Sasha Banks.
Well, there's your answer right there. Not the goody two-shoe. The moment she got booked to SmackDown Live.
Yeah. And then they turned her into a face, though. They turned her to a face.
Oh. And she started as heel, they cheered her. But again, even as a heel, they just didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah. So, and then Becky Lynch, too, is another person you can say that they haven't done too much with. And kind of like, to me, falls in the realm of Bayley, that when I see her now, I'm like, I've lost interest. And that's what happens when we see Bayley, too. Now, I looked at her. I loved her. I thought she was going to be the next woman's John Cena. That's how great she was. That's how impressed I was after watching Bayley and Sasha Banks at Brooklyn Takeover, the first one in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? That's what I thought that Bayley was going to be. And now she's become to the point where, like, okay, all right, she's there, she wins, yay, next she beats Mandy Rose, congratulations. And then most likely they're going to get Bayley versus Sasha Banks. But, you know, back to the whole Charlotte Flair and Ruby Riott, I think Charlotte Flair comes out victorious.
Me too. I don't see really Ruby Riott winning this one, even with the Riott squad there. So I see Charlotte winning it. And then from there, we'll figure out what's going on with the SmackDown Women's Championship going into WrestleMania.
Then you got the tag team title, SmackDown Live. The Usos against the New Day. They renew their rivalry here.
This kind of feels recycled to me, though, to be honest.
Hell yeah,
it does.
It does. When you have the Bludgeon Brothers, and that's about it. You'd love to see maybe Fandango and Tyler Breeze get another shot, but of course they're just comedic acts. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, who really... Shelton Benjamin and Gable, they blew that. So, I mean, who else is there? So they got to go back to the Usos and New Day. But I really do think that the Usos walk away here, the tag team champs. And I believe, I will predict this, I believe that the Usos make the open challenge to the Bar, and we get the Usos versus the Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I see that happening as well. It'd be pretty interesting who goes over on that one. But, you know, if and when that does happen, we'll talk about it. But, yeah, right now it seems like it's setting themselves up where these two teams are very distinct on both brands, really have no competition within their normal regular brands. So what's the best way to do it is pit two champions against each other, which, you know, I always kind of thought, too, when you split the brands up, Jeff, that you would want the champions to face each other at WrestleMania, kind of like another way of upbringing Survivor Series, but I know you kind of used it for that type of scenario, Clash of Champions. It's just a way to see who's the better brand.
What kind of Survivor Series, though? Because you want to see the better brands on Survivor Series. Yeah. And the Clash of Champions, championships would be on the line.
No, yeah, I know. But in terms of, you know, using Clash of Champions and maybe changing it up, that's in my mindset what I would have thought it would have been, all the champions face each other in a way. But no, you're right. It wasn't meant for that, but it was more Survivor Series. But it would have been pretty cool to see the champions face each other at WrestleMania.
Then Bobby Roode and the U.S. titles on the line. Defense against Randy Orton. Oh, man. There's somebody else that I've can't believe I lost interest in Bobby Roode. I think Randy Orton just is so contagious.
But Jeff, you talk about somebody else being booked badly. I mean, you use the perfect example of Charlotte Flair. Look at Bobby Roode. The moment he stepped in to SmackDown Live, he was a babyface. They were cheering him. He was doing these goofy little movements that you weren't used to, because he was splitting his time between NXT, finishing his time there, and SmackDown Live. And I'm like, this isn't the Bobby Roode that we saw in NXT. This isn't the Bobby Roode we saw in, you know, TNA back then. It doesn't fit him. And you're right. You know, when you're in there with Randy Orton, it's kind of contagious. The venom seeps through where it's like, oh, this match is not going to be good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to say, and then Jinder Mahal, who's been interfering in the matches here, you know, do they choose to do it a triple threat? Do they choose to put Jinder in here? Because he's been a thorn in both Randy Orton and Bobby Roode's side. They could make it into that, but I still think that Bobby Roode comes out the winner, and I think he goes on to WrestleMania. I don't know who he takes on. Maybe it's a six-pack challenge. Maybe it's a fatal five-way. Maybe it's a fatal four-way.
You know,
maybe
2017,
it's a tricky triple threat. You never know. But
2017 had been the year of so many triple threat matches.
And listen, get ready.
And it continues on.
Get ready for more. Get ready for more. Yeah. Because once you get the one pay-per-views per month, they have to book more people. And it's going to be co-branded Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank will be co-branded. You're going to have to get more people in there. How do you do it? More triple threats, more fatal four ways, more six pack challenges, more eight ways. You never know. So that is what we have to look forward to in the future.
Yeah.
But again, we should be used to this now. But a triple threat match, maybe with Jinder. I still say Bobby Roode walks away the champion.
Me too. I pick Bobby Roode winning it. If Randy Orton was to win it, don't get it. Scratch my head. But again, hey, this is WWE programming we're talking about here. It has been done before, but I see Bobby Roode walking away with this one.
Now, what if I were to tell you that there's a wrestler on the roster that is getting so much respect right now and so over that even the fans of Ring of Honor are cheering for this guy? Who would you say it was?
Flip Gordon?
No. No, a WWE superstar that is even more over in Ring of Honor than he is.
Oh, a WWE superstar. Sorry, I thought you meant somebody from Ring of Honor. WWE superstar. Rusev?
Exactly. And the fans of Ring of Honor, the Manhattan Center, Manhattan Mayhem, were yelling Rusev Day, Rusev Day, to the point where they even know that this guy should get over. But unfortunately, he's got to take on Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, listen, you don't have to be the best booker in the world. You don't have to be the most of right mind when you're a booker, but you got to believe that there's no way Shinsuke Nakamura is losing to Rusev right before WrestleMania. So Rusev becomes a sacrificial lamb. They have no plan for Rusev. He is getting over by himself, and the WWE doesn't know what to do with him, and that's just freaking sad. Even Aiden English is getting over, and they have no idea what to do with these two. Put them in the tag team match. Put them against the Usos at WrestleMania. I want to see that. Have them walk away the tag team champions. The fans want to see it. They're demanding Rusev to get pushed. Why not? But unfortunately, it's not going to be here at Fastlane, and he's going to lose to Shinsuke Nakamura, and it's going to be another loss for Rusev, and it's going to be another sad state, because this man should be competing for the heavyweight championship on Raw, on SmackDown.
Well, it's funny. When we look at it, what was it, a year and a half ago, Rusev, we couldn't stand this guy. We're like, let's move him over. Let's move on. The Rusev experiment has kind of withered and died. And I give full credit where a guy like Rusev and even Aiden English have had the ability of reinventing themselves in a way which, you know, I don't think was really done on purpose. It was really them just taking, you know, crap and making the best with it. And that's what they've done. And you want to talk about, you know, the crowd, and, you know, people, the crew listening to this and people that talk about, you know, people getting over. I mean, this is as natural, as authentic as you possibly can get over. And I think the fans see it. They show their appreciation. They want some guy to get an opportunity in this terms of Rusev and Aiden English. And like, hey, why don't we just give him the opportunity? It doesn't hurt to have that, even though management and creatives had no plans for these individuals. I mean, what's the point? Why don't you just follow and ride that wave right now? Because it's hotter than it's ever been right now. When you have everybody chanting Rusev Day, and you know, I know the reason behind it, Jeff. They'll be like, well, you know, it's the flavor of the week and stuff like that. But hey, why don't you use the flavor of the week right now? Because right now in the tag team division, you have nobody to use. Use right now what's hot right now. What's hot is Rusev Day.
And literally, SmackDown is kind of being hypocrites because they're not the land of opportunity recently. They're not listening to the crowd. And it's just very mind-boggling the way SmackDown has been booked the last couple of months. And I think it's also another reason why I'm not looking forward to this pay-per-view Fastlane so much, because I just really, to me, it's just kind of like Elimination Chamber. We kind of guessed that spot on, you know what I mean? We kind of were like, okay, there's not going to be too much craziness. There's not going to be too many changes here because we're heading into Mania. You look at this card, there's really not a lot of upsets here, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, the only one I can see is maybe Orton over Rude, or maybe Jinder being involved, and that way, you know, he beats Rude or Randy Orton. So that's the only way I can see an upset, because I see everything going the way you would expect with no significant upsets.
Yeah, it seems to be a very predictable card right now, and that's the way it's setting up to be. But, I mean, honestly, we wouldn't expect anything less. The one event before WrestleMania, and it's the one that you've mentioned before, has been kind of overlooked, and the one that people want to look past. And so right now, there's no point and there's no question that we're looking past this, because right now our mindset's set on New Orleans and WrestleMania.
You know, and just to close out, a couple more things, too. McMahon supposedly met with Del Rio in Stamford, Connecticut. Vince still seems to be a fan of Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron. There is one main thing that a lot of people talk about, and that is Alberto Del Rio somebody that you can build a company around?
In my honest opinion, I feel yes, but that company would not be WWE, though, because he does not fit within the constraints or the parameters of what WWE tries to do. They're very company friendly, and what I mean by that is that, you know, they want to adhere to all these rules, and a guy like Alberto Patron or Del Rio, whatever you want to call him nowadays, he kind of goes by his own set. He's really passionate about, and we've interviewed him before, he's passionate about what he does in the ring. To him,
matter what people say, really good guy.
Very good guy. He's more passionate about what he does in the ring. To them, that's the way he expresses himself. That's his resume. That's, you know, who he is, a wrestler. I think when you try to portray him as a superstar, as much as you could put him in nice suits and the scarf and the hair slicked back, which he fits perfectly to a T, he's not that type of individual. He's not meant to do that. You have to let him be himself. And I think the biggest issue is when you have people coming into the company who aren't homegrown guys, theoretically, in a way, who haven't gone through the system, theoretically, is there's resistance there because they weren't created. They weren't built within the company, and there's always backlash, and there's always issues between them. So, you know, for a guy like Del Rio, he said he's on the verge of retirement pretty soon. It'd be nice to see him in WWE.
They've mended the fences, obviously.
They've mended the fences. They've corrected those issues. But at the same time, if Alberto, I don't think he's naive to think that, you know, anything's going to be different. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times. It's you know what to expect when you go back there, if he does go back.
And while we're talking about it too, I would say really quick, I think that they should, if they're looking for a Mexican superstar, I should say, bring Andrade Cien Almas up. He deserves it. He has it. And bring him up with Zelina Vega, and then you have there a very charismatic superstar that can fit that Latino community, especially in Mexico. I think he would do a great job. So go with Andrade to me, too. And, of course, also we're
trying to... But Andrade has some unfinished business by the name
of totally
Drew
McIntyre. I totally get it. I understand, but I'm saying, like, you know, in the future, should be your guy.
No, I knew what you meant, yeah.
And then Rey Mysterio Jr., man, what bad luck, too, man. From what we hear, torn biceps when he wrestled up for North East Wrestling here, and that kind of puts a little hurdle that
WWE and Rey Mysterio have to, you know, get over now if he wants to sign. A biceps could be anywhere between 6 to 8 months, maybe. So maybe towards the end of the year, we'll see Rey Mysterio back in WWE.
Yeah, it'd be great to see him back. To see him at the Royal Rumble is really, really nice to see him finally get those cheers, as opposed to the last time we saw him, he got booed because everybody wanted to be Daniel Bryan. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know how close the rumors were true, Jeff, in terms of he was going to be facing John Cena. I know rumors are going out that was the likelihood of what was going to happen, and the bicep tear now kind of changed plans. I don't know how credible that was. You know, as much as, for example, it would be cool to see Rey Mysterio and John Cena in the ring at the same time wrestling each other, it doesn't intrigue me either. You know, it's cool, but you know what? It's not something I'd be willing to pay money to see because it does nothing for me. So really unfortunate, and I feel bad for Rey Mysterio Jr. It would have been nice to see him somewhere around WrestleMania weekend or sometime around WrestleMania to do something. But right now, we're going to have to wait till later in the year. Hopefully, he heals up. And I would love to see him end his career in WWE right now.
Yeah, most definitely, too. And, of course, tonight, this Friday, we will get Ring of Honor's 16th anniversary from Las Vegas, Nevada. So they were in Manhattan just last week, and now they go on to one of their big events here, the 16th anniversary show, Ring of Honor from Las Vegas. We were in Vegas. Wish we were there to see this Ring of Honor show. Yeah. And it's going to be a really good show, too. You're going to get Cody versus Matt Taven. You're also going to get Punishment Martinez taking on Marty Scurll. And, of course, a lot of matches, too, that, you know, if you go on the website, ROHWrestling.com, you will see it's going to be a great night of Ring of Honor wrestling too. So it's going to be awesome too. And of course, don't forget to mark on your calendar the next time you can catch the Jersey Wrecking Crew will be this Saturday for Warriors of Wrestling in Staten Island, New York. We will be also too at the big event beforehand, getting interviews there as well in Queens. And also, you can find us on blogtalkradio.com/highspotpodcast. And we are also available on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is the baby of Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman. They are the flagship show there on the network, Between the Ropes, every Wednesday night. You can also catch the Cosmic Geppetto. Brad and Kyle talk about movies, wrestling, and pop culture. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Stu Myers and Justin Simmons are two sports guys from Austin, Texas, talking professional wrestling. And this week, they're joined by Jeff Jarrett and Ring of Honor star Caprice Coleman. Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp. They're talking NXT and the start of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
And not just that, Jeff, you can also catch us on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Network and catch all their great content they have on there, as well as Destruction 101 Podcast, A Drink with Gino, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with Sean Donovan, and Outsiders Podcast with Mark Adam Haggerty.
Oh, that is awesome. We are on so many networks, but we want to thank also Brian Fritz for being on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Looking forward to, just chilling with the guys one day. Maybe talk some wrestling with the guys on the network and be like, hey, Spencer, let's talk about NXT. Hey, Brian, let's talk about a WrestleMania preview. So,
well, we did that in Orlando. Who knows? We might be able to do it in New Orleans. So, like I said, we always have the opportunity. They're great guys, great networks that we're a part of. Couldn't ask for anything better in terms of bringing the content out to you guys. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast, another successful episode in the books. Remember, you can catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. For the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Martin, my tag team partner, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berger. Thanking you so much for listening to this week's episode. Catch us next week as we do this for you guys. We do this for you, the crew.